I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us this evening. Folks, we want to switch gears to have another conversation. I saw this situation in Utah, and I found that I was like thinking to myself, man, this might be a good opportunity for us here in Baltimore City. Here's the situation, folks. They just passed in the state of Utah a new bill that says that biological fathers must pay half of a woman's out-of-pocket pregnancy costs. Y'all hear me on this one? Biological fathers must pay half of women's out-of-pocket pregnancy costs. They call this prenatal child support. It's a new law in Utah. The bill, well, the law now, was done in an effort to decrease the burden of pregnancy on women and increase responsibility for men who have children. Utah is the first state to mandate prenatal child support. The governor of Utah, Governor Brady Brammer, said he wanted to pursue legislation that would make it easier to bring life into the world after growing frustrated with anti-abortion measures going through the legislature. If paternity of the child is disputed, then fathers won't be required to pay until after paternity is established. The law is not intended, however, based upon the political officials there, to lower the frequency of abortions, but the governor is hoping that this new bill could be a start. So I wanted to bring this up because when I first heard this, I was like, wait a minute. Now, I know the child support system can be vicious. It can be vicious. I've heard the stories. I know it could be a vicious situation. But do you think that this would curb that situation and it would force men and women, but more men, of course, the biological fathers, to take greater responsibility? And also, let's throw this in there. A policy like this, do you foresee that a policy like this could change one's decision to even have children if they don't have the intentions of taking care of the child? I want you to join me in this conversation. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. I'm asking the question, should fathers have to pay prenatal child support? Now, I want you to think about this as well. There are some fathers out there, you know, you have circumstances where having a child is not ideal. We ain't got to go into it. I think we are all adults. We're all grown folks. So we know that there are some circumstances out there for that, right? But if the woman wants to have the child, and I'm all for, if the woman let me just put it this way. I'm all for the woman making her choice about her own body. I don't think men should be able to legislate, dictate, or demand a woman what she needs, what she can and cannot do with her body, because women don't do that to men. So for us to do that to women is out of pocket. So it's up to that woman, because I know some guys, I know some of us would say, oh, no, I don't want the child. But if the woman decides to have the child, you know, if you didn't want the child, like my pops used to tell me when I was younger, he was like, son, if you don't want to get a girl pregnant, then don't do that situation unprotected. And so it's like, if the woman wants to have the child, and in some cases, this might be her only chance of having the child. Oftentimes she's being put in a place where she has to either give up the child or basically abide by the wishes of the dad. In this case, it may not be that case. That may not be the situation anymore. There's a lot of fear that young women, older women, just women in general have when laying down with a man and having his baby. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of angst. There's a lot of uncertainty there. And so do you think this will help? You think this will help the situation, or do you think this will make the situation even worse? I want you to join me in this conversation. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. And as we talk about this new Utah law, they just passed this law. It was just reported yesterday that fathers would be required by law to pay prenatal child support. What's your take on that? And is that something that we should possibly advocate for here in the state of Maryland? Here in Baltimore City, where we know that sometimes you need to put a board up against a man's back to be responsible for his children, unfortunately. 410-319-8888. All right, Dan. Thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on this, Dan? What do you think of this law?
Thank you for taking my call, Farajit.
You're welcome.
First and foremost, I'd like to say I am familiar with the community and the environment of Utah.
Okay.
And it is not, the people are certainly not unlike, you know, everybody else in the U.S. As you have young people, young men and women, you know, people of just above adolescence age, perhaps, as they start reaching their independence, interested in each other and then becoming intimate with each other. The one thing that I think is absent from this discussion, which plays out differently in different communities, different areas, is based on what you said they had reported, which is they're pushing forward for this to basically show a level to encourage a higher level of responsibility in both ways, both with perhaps with the women and perhaps with the young man also.
Mm-hmm.
However, what is missing from this is this discussion is what is the next step, because in typical cases, especially if you hear about it in, you know, in more urban centers, what they try to do in regards to dealing with the issue of families being created,
mm-hmm.
If you will, if of a birth, is that after that first, when it comes to prenatal child support, when you say child support, the first thing that many young men think of is, hey, I'm in this situation and this is a punitive measure being taken.
Right.
So what was not discussed, what was not mentioned in this reporting was, okay, what if the father, just like in other cases, for after a child is born, perhaps, says, no, I'm not going to pay, or I don't want to pay, or can't pay, or don't want to pay. The next step in a typical situation that we know of already is
legal.
There is a punitive measure taken.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening. I think they're trying to work around that in Utah, because I've, like I said, I'm familiar with that. One thing that was very striking, if you ever go to Utah and other communities like that, is that, as I said, just like everywhere else, there are young people that become intimate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that in Utah, you'll find many, many young families. I'm talking about people just out of high school, maybe sometimes still in high school, that become intimate with each other, fall in love with each other, what have you. and go through all of the things that you used to see in the sort of storybook, you know, older fashioned.
Right.
We come together, we get married, we have a family together, very young ages too, and it's almost incredible to see. In many ways, it's refreshing to see. Here's a young family that just like any other young family you'd think of across the state. Hey, they're going to have a difficult time just surviving. But man, look at them. They're really giving it a go. They've gone the whole 100 yards.
Wow.
Marriage, matrimony, all that stuff. And they have a young family, you know, just like anywhere else. I'm like, how is this going to survive? And that's a typical thing. That's how it, I suppose, in many people's minds, that is how it should be when that can be afforded, when that can be made allowance for. It's kind of sad for me to say that, you know, because there are so many more discouraged situations, you know, at many places in the country. But that aspect of this was never mentioned in this. That is, what if there is a disagreement in that? Then does that lead to a punitive stage? Because if it does not, then what is the, you know, this could be just as encouraging in Baltimore City or anywhere else.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point.
In the other communities.
That's a good point. And Dan, I appreciate you for bringing up that point. You know, one of the things that it does mention is that if mothers have the option to seek support through the courts if they need to, you know, to take care of these birth expenses. So the court situation, like you said, the punitive damage, there's still the option to do that. But a lot of the women don't in Utah. They don't take advantage of that option.
So what you just said was they have the option of going to court. So my understanding was that this will be an instituted legal measure. That is the way it is.
Yep.
That is the way this happens once they pass this law. So it's not. So that's no longer an option if this becomes a law.
No, this is already a law.
Right. So then if either the parent, the mother, or the father of the child disagree with having to comply with this, then that automatically pushes that, under what we understand currently, into a punitive response by the legal system. So I don't see that happening with what I've seen in Utah. I don't see them saying, hey, we see how it's done in all these other sort of many areas around the country, poor areas, urban areas, and what have you, when young people or others get in you know, situations where they have unplanned families.
Right.
So here we are going to introduce them to the punitive side of the court system, and all whole array of other things start to happen.
And Dan, you're hitting the nail right on the head, sir. You are hitting the nail right. And here's the other thing about this, and I'm glad that we are talking about the very details of this, is that, like I mentioned, if the paternity of the child is disputed, fathers won't be required to pay until after paternity is established. The father also wouldn't be financially responsible for the cost of an abortion received without his consent, unless it's necessary to prevent the death of the mother or if the pregnancy was the result of rape.
So that's another aspect of this, another layer of this, which that goes in another sort of direction with some other, you know, other, whichever way you come down in that sort of sphere. But once again, just the very basic stuff is what if either of the parents just say, I don't want to do this. I just simply don't want this arrangement. I'm not going to do this.
Right.
Then typically the next thing is a punitive measure, which I don't see happening out there, because then it goes completely contrary to what they're trying to achieve, from what I understand of this, what you described.
Right.
Support families, trying to keep the, you know, reduce the, you know, reduce abortions, basically, for more than anything. And then also to be perhaps supportive of the beginnings of a family. But then if it goes the punitive route, which is the way it's set up to do, that puts a whole different spin on this. Because then you basically put people on a downward spiral if they say they're not going to do this, whether they can pay or not. Certainly if they're unable to pay, then what happens? You're going to penalize somebody for not having the means to. If they can pay and don't want to, then I suspect there's a whole nother, a whole nother other legal pursuits that'll start happening from that.
I think you're right on track. I think this is all about making sure that you protect the child's life. And even though, like I said, the governor said that this is not intended to lower the frequency of abortions, he said that that this could be a potential result. So it's all in a way of preserving the child's life. In spite of, I like to use that word better, that language better, in spite of the parents' wishes.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, Dan, you can open up a whole new Pandora's box like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You can open up a whole new Pandora's box right there, because if you're dealing with young people who are not of the mindset to take care of another child, of a human being, to take care of a child, you know, you're dealing with a young man or a young woman. I mean, it's something else. But imagine if you're 18, you're 17 years old, and then, you know, or rather 18 years old, quote unquote, adult, and you get hit with this.
Right. It's walking a tightrope, because the other side of that coin is this. If they say, we're going to do something that's non-punitive, we're going to find a way to support funding whatever the procedures that had to get done were done with the mother, and then that will therefore erase any punitive measure of such to either the parents. And that way they'll say, well, then there's no, you can't call either one of them a criminal coming out of this, and still the baby gets born.
Right.
Well, then all of a sudden you've got the opposite end of that coin. All the people that are perhaps in the pro-life wing will say, well, gee whiz, we're funding people to go out and have children, and because they know they're going to have this cost taken care of. And
So there's that
aspect of the argument, too.
Hey, Dan, I got to let you go, but you opening it all up, sir. You opening it all up, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I appreciate you, Dan. Thank you so much for checking in and really posing some interesting questions and thoughts about this situation. Let's go back to the phone line, see what folks got to say. 410-319-8888. Talking about how in the state of Utah, fathers must pay half of a woman's out-of-pocket pregnancy costs. They call it prenatal child support. What's your take of it? Tony, checking in. Tony, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Hello?
Yes, Tony?
No, I'm Tony.
Oh, Tony. I apologize. Tony.
Okay. My take is that I don't see anything wrong with it, but my whole thing is that we as mothers have those talks with our son about protection, and sometimes it just goes out of left ear. So basically this conversation becomes more potent when we say, hey, look, if you go out here and you don't protect yourself and you get this young girl pregnant, there's a possibility that she could take you to court and you have to take care of her before she even had this child.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because a lot of young men just put it on a girl, hey, are you protected? You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? And so if the girl say no, and he realized, oh, okay, if I get you pregnant, then you could take me to court and I have to pay child support before you even get pregnant. I mean, before you even have the child. You know, let me do what I have to do to protect me and you.
So Tony, you're saying that, like, the policy can serve as a way to change people's behavior.
Yes. Especially young men. And
yeah.
Older men, too, because, I mean, they like, I got a chick on the side. Hey, you know.
Right.
You got a chick on the side. And your chick on the side get pregnant. Now, you got money coming out of our house because you didn't want to protect yourself.
Wow. Talking about, oh, my gosh, talking about unsafe sex.
Right. You're going to come tell your wife, hey, baby, I'm sorry. You know, it was just a one-night thing.
I can only imagine.
And now she's pregnant. And
I got to take care of her.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Hey, Tony, so now you know what question I got to ask you. Should this be instituted in Maryland? Should we have a real conversation about this in Maryland or in Baltimore City?
Yes.
Okay. You didn't even hesitate, sis.
No, I'm not hesitating.
You're like, yes,
you got too
absolutely.
Many chips running around here.
Yeah. Too many. And you know what? And it's unfortunate. Now, I really hate this part of our community and culture. And, Tony, I thank you so much for bringing that up. I appreciate you. I really hate that part of our, like, if you have no intention to be with And I'm saying only on some circumstances, you might have had intentions to be with the woman and then child comes into the picture. But the point is, like you said, Tani, we put, as men, I think we put a lot of emphasis on women. We put a lot of pressure on women to take care of themselves, to prevent themselves from being pregnant, while we just go everywhere with it. We don't take the necessary measures to make sure that we stay safe, that we stay protected. And that dynamic certainly has to change. That has to change. Men, we got to take this situation serious. And more importantly, we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. You can't lay down with somebody and nobody's protected, and then you get surprised when the child pops up, like nature doesn't happen. I mean, come on. Let's go back to the line here. What folks got to say? 410-319-8888. Ahmed, thank you so much. What's your take on this?
This is really great, and your interview with the mayor was awesome. I really appreciate that.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
And what I wanted to say about this is, instead of focusing on, you know, who's going to pay for this, and we know that we can't legislate people's behavior. But I would say that this issue should not even be discussed. It should be more so, not in this case. I'm talking about in Utah, or you talked about, you know, maybe should we bring it here and whatnot. I think we should just talk about universal health care, and everyone has it.
Mm.
And so nobody's punished already. People are already paying forward in all these health care stuff with all these taxes and all these other things that we're paying for. So it's already there. So we should flip the whole idea and say, well, instead of causing this animosity and tension in relationships, you know, that could go out of hand, why don't we just provide health care to everybody? That is what we should talk about. And not, you know, put a burden on the men or the women. You know, these people are, most of people I would assume have a relationship.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point.
Of some kind. And you know, for some sort of a government going in there and trying to tell them what to do and causing a tension already between already sensitive issues, it doesn't make any sense. We should just think about, okay, well, you want to propose this? No, we don't want that. We want health care for all. And we will never have to discuss this anymore. The legislators oftentimes busy themselves up for Band-Aid, for not doing anything. They don't do much. I'm not saying all of them. Many of them don't do much that's significant, which is why the brother who called asked the mayor, hey, listen, man, you can't build a house that's on a wobbly foundation.
Right.
You got to root it out and destroy the whole thing and fix it, start from scratch. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to negotiate about this kind of stuff. You know, we want to say we need affordable care for everybody.
Hey, Ahmed, I got to stop you right there.
Such idea in Baltimore City or anywhere else in the country.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And again, I think that the point that you're making is big picture thinking, which I absolutely love, instead of the a la carte thinking that we've often seen. You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, there has to be a drastic reform of insurance and healthcare and that whole system, instead of the, you know, the a la carte pick and play and type of strategy that we've been using for many, many years in this country. So I think you're absolutely right. But I think it's even more interesting that this type of bill, how it could possibly affect, like Tani said, how it could possibly affect people's behavior. Because at the end of it, that's what it comes down to, us making certain decisions, us making certain choices, right, that is in the best interest of ourselves and the other person. The man is making the best interest of himself and the woman, with the woman vice versa. So it's like we have to start taking responsibility of our choices. And so many times, this government has put out the narrative that it will take care of everybody, it will do all, but the government is not able to do that at this point. So what happens? Then people have to start taking responsibility for their own actions. People start to have to say, you know what, I can't do this, and start reining in on their own behavior. Otherwise, they're going to start to see the consequences. Folks, I got to take my final pause. When we come back, Renee, Rita, and Manny, I want to hear what you got to say as we continue the conversation about Utah and how fathers are required in the state of Utah to pay prenatal costs for women that have been pregnant. I want to get your take on it. 410-319-8888. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture on WEAA.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight we are talking about how in the state of Utah, Utah fathers are now legally required to pay half of the pregnancy costs. This is the first state to mandate, Utah is the first state to mandate prenatal child support. And this is a big issue in the state of Utah where they felt like they had to do something. They had to make a decision. And so the governor there, Governor Spencer Cox, who was a Republican, he signed the proposal. It got widespread support from the Republicans there. And it was a proposal that was a piece of legislation that Republican Representative Brady Brammer said he decided to sponsor because he had grown frustrated with the number of anti-abortion measures going through the legislature and wanted to pursue legislation that would make it easier to bring life into the world. Now, in Utah, mothers are already burdened with the cost of pregnancy, of having a baby. And so, according to Lisa Stocksdale, who serves as the director of the state's Office of Recovery Services, she said that mothers already have the option to seek support related to birth expenses through the courts, but few do. She said, which typically collects child support. She said mothers will now have the option to also seek pregnancy-related payments through the legal system, but it's unclear how often they will pursue it. But the representative is saying that the bill is not intended to lower the frequency of the abortions, but that could be a potential result. I mentioned earlier saying Governor Brady Brammer, when actually it's Representative Brady Brammer, the sponsor of the bill. So I just wanted to correct myself there. But the fact is that you have this requirement. And I'm wondering, should we think about doing that here in the state of Maryland or in Baltimore City? Join me in a conversation, 410-319-8888. Let's go back to the line. Let me hear from Manny. Manny, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Hey, bro.
Hey, Manny.
Hey, you know, when you were living in Utah, and most of them are Mormons, okay?
Right.
And most of them believe in big families, because I came from a big family. It was 18 of us. My father ran out of names, started giving us numbers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? When it comes to child support,
yeah,
I've been in that situation, man, and it hurt me to my heart. My daughter, who's a journalist, she told me, Dad, he said, why are you still paying for Chaz? He's 21.
Mm.
I said, well, I can get all my money back.
Mm.
I can't wait. I'm going to take me a cruise. And everybody going to go with me. I went down there. I said, you know, I overpaid y'all. Know what they told me, man?
What's they say?
That went towards the kids.
The kids of who?
Of your son. We can't pay you back that money.
Wow. So wait a minute. Your child support for your son was transferred to your grandchildren?
No. That went back towards my kid, which never. And my ex-wife, she kept spending the checks because they kept coming in. You know?
Wow.
This is crazy, man, you know?
Wow.
I remember what you just said, man. You know, life is about choices, you know?
Yeah.
And life is about choices, you know? It's crazy, man, because the guy's not going to win. My nephew, he was in a bad accident, man.
Mm-hmm.
He got $70,000. $70,000 from this accident. He lived. He got $70,000. I can't even talk right now, man. My pizza's finished. And guess what happened?
What happened?
Mohammed, guess what happened? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What happened to it?
What happened to him is that he said he went out and brought a Z26 back in the day. You know, it was a nice car.
Right.
And what happened? He went and got that. But what happened to him after that is that he owed child support. And the kids were all grown. They took the rest of the money and put it towards the kids. And his wife got that. You know, he had a heart attack right after that, man. You know, child support is a trip, man.
Damn.
Child support is a trip. You hear me? Man, keep it going, man. Stay strong.
Hey, brother, I appreciate you, Manny. Thank you so much. That's unfortunate.
Thank you. Ain't got nothing but love for you, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you, dear brother. Oh, my gosh. That is unfortunate. Like I said, I've been hearing these horror stories about child support here in the state and around the city and in Baltimore City for years. But I'm wondering, because a lot of the conversations about child support is about men getting the short end of the stick, right? And I think in some cases it does work to that. But I'm trying to figure out, well, what would bring some balance between the two, a man and the woman, in a situation like this? Because maybe if there was some prenatal child support that were taking care of it, it wouldn't be so hard on the back end. If you know you're not going to stay with the, if I'm speaking to the men, if you know you're not going to stay with the woman that has your child, then maybe you can pay for that cost up front, and then it'll be less relief on the back. Let's go back to the phone lines, hear what you got to say on this. Renee, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Of the bill, but I also think that it starts at home. We need to start having realistic, age-appropriate conversation with our young men and young ladies. My son is 33. He does not have a child. I want a grandchild, and he won't make one. I told him from the time he was old, you know, we've had those conversations, and I told him the moment you sleep with a girl and you choose not to put a condom on, you are choosing to be a father. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. When you choose not to protect yourself, you are choosing to be a dad. She's not trapping you. This is your choice because you chose to do it.
So would you think something like this, would you think it would be helpful or hurtful in Maryland or in Baltimore?
I don't know if I want to say it would be helpful. I mean, it kind of make you, I think it would, like you said, it would force people to be responsible.
Yeah.
But I also think it should come with home. Like I said, I let my son know this is your savings account. The moment you make this baby and you're under 18, this becomes your child support. So all this money that I'm putting in this savings account for you over the years, if you make a baby under 18, this money turns into your child support because you got to support this child. I told him, if you make a baby, guess what? She's going to drop that baby off on Friday night, and she can pick the baby up on Sunday evening or Monday morning, because if she has to have the child all week, you're going to have it all weekend.
You got
to
have it on the weekend, yep.
Right. And he that's what he did. He never wanted a baby. He said he knew I would be that parent. He knew that I would be that parent that would do it.
How old is his son? How old is your son now?
He's 33.
So he made sure. He was like, I'm not giving up my weekends and all that stuff.
Right. And I told him I would leave the house. I'm not babysitting.
I hear that.
I told the same thing to my nieces and nephews. When you choose to have a child with somebody that you're not married to, because even if you're married, there's no guarantee.
Sure.
But if you choose to have a baby with a man that you're not married to, and now you got to deal with him in and out the child's life and all that, it's a lifetime. Don't just because y'all break up, you still got to deal with them.
Yep.
Me and my ex-husband, fortunately, we get along. I call his new wife my sister wife. So fortunately, we get along. But, you know, you have to grow up. When you make a baby, you got to grow up and be a mature adult. You can't be saying, I don't want no other men around my kid. You can't be saying, I don't want no women around my kid.
Yeah.
No, y'all made them together. Now y'all got to grow up and be an adult.
That's facts. That's facts. Renee, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. Let's go back to the line, 410-319-8888. Rita, what's your take on this, ma'am? Do you think that it might be helpful or hurtful for fathers to pay prenatal child support?
Thank you for taking my call, Faraji. I'm going to go a little above that.
Okay.
When you said that this legislation was by the Republican, I knew exactly where it was coming from.
Mm.
It's coming from that anti-abortion lobby. And the anti-abortion lobby, the Republicans are not concerned about the welfare of anybody. They try to pull the rug from anything that would help a poor person, medical care, any kind of thing that would help. But the bottom line is they want more white babies. They're not concerned about black children because there are hundreds of black children in foster care.
Sure.
All they're concerned about is those white babies. They want these white women to have the babies because they know that in 40 or 20-some more years, the whites are going to be in a minority. And I don't think the law is a good law. I think that it will create a lot of hard feelings and maybe even violence against women. I think it is the responsibility of a man, if he is a real man, to take care of his children.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be dictated by law. That's just plain common decency.
And you know what, Rita? I agree with you, and I appreciate you for checking in. I agree with you. I think that that should be common sense, especially... You know, especially if you knew that you weren't protecting yourself. I mean, come on, folks. This is not rocket science. We understand the process of making babies. And so it's interesting when people are like, well, I didn't think, you know, and sometimes women can be wrong about their own bodies. In a sense of, I've heard stories of women who say, oh, I didn't think I could have children. So, you know, you tell your you know, the guy that, hey, I didn't think I could have children, so you should be okay. Mm-mm. You can't just go off of that. You can't make a lifelong decision or the possibility of a lifelong decision based off, I just thought. I mean, you know, there has to be more thought. There has to be more responsibility involved. All right, let's go back to the line. Let me go to Sister Halima.
Yeah, bro. Yes, indeed. Let me tell you something. Greetings
okay.
to everybody. I'm looking at, you know, because I have my own talk show, but I'm looking at YouTube telling me right now that what I have to talk about do not meet the requirements for me to have my own channel and broadcast.
Okay.
Let me tell you this much. Even for any reason that the Republicans feel that way about people who are natively connected to both lands, not only both lands, the wombs of their mothers, okay? Both lands, I mean the United States of America and wherever their ancestry people have come from, okay? We don't even know about that. We ain't even been over there. If you're part Guyanese, but yet you don't know nothing about Guyanese, but you're an American.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Nigerian, but you don't know nothing about Nigerian, but you always been in America. You're a Native American, but you don't know about Native American, but you're an American.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is for sure, I myself have had nothing but premature babies. And with all of the donations or the so-called research that goes on as to why your body is always conformed to prenatal care for premature babies. Let me tell you something. While they doing laboratory work on your premature baby, making $10,000 off of your baby, ain't giving you nothing, but you want to sit up there and try to figure out what happened to your premature baby. Well, it turned into cosmetics. What happened to your premature baby? Nowadays, we hearing stuff like it's in the food.
Mm.
You're making us cannibalism when we don't want to be cannibalism.
Yeah.
Okay? For one, so why you want to sit up there and try to pressure a group of people that you don't like, but yet you use their ancestors when they came over here, blood, sweat, and tears, slice the women open when the babies wasn't due to be delivered at the right time for the wrong time?
That's true, Sister Halima. And I think one of the big things about this, and I appreciate you for checking in. Thank you so much. One of the big things about this is, you know, how much reach does a government have on the agency or the bodies, the agency of women body and men body, and how much reach do we want them to have in the building of our families? Because that's essentially a huge part of this new law, that there is a push toward quote unquote nuclear families. Let's go back to the phone line. Let me hear from Tyrell. Tyrell, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I want to jump on definitely the support side, especially if we talk about Maryland and we talk about Baltimore City, right? So back in June of 2019, the Baltimore Sun released an article talking about a report that and forgive me, I may get the name of the foundation wrong, but the Abel or Able Foundation.
Yeah, the Able Foundation.
Yes, they did a report with, I believe it was with the University of Maryland. But the report and study talked about how child support in the state of Maryland was, you know, how was it set too high, and that there needs to be a overhaul typically on child support in the state of Maryland. That the state of Maryland collects over $550 million for the 220,000 cases in child support that it has over the course of a year. But it also went on to talk about, you know, the tactics of when people fall behind on child support, and that the majority of these people falling behind are young Black men. And, you know, now, you know, there's multiple reasons. Yes, as many callers have said, you make a choice when you have unprotected sex that, you know, you're okay with having a child. You know, so there is some decision making on your part. But at the same time, do we want to keep digging ourselves into these holes where, you know, again, if we have a system that already needs to be overhauled because they're taking your license, how am I supposed to get to work?
Right.
If I have a license as a barber or a plumber and then I lose that license, again, how am I supposed to work? If you put me in jail, you're still not taking me off of child support.
Yep.
Right. So I'm falling further behind. You know, and it continues to just build up and build up. So do we really want to add in more to the system to continue to put people who look like you and I further behind the eight ball than we already are before we even make bad decisions?
Well, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I understand the sentiment. My thinking, though, is too many times that once people like the system is more reactive than proactive.
Agreed.
So once, like we, unfortunately, we're seeing case after case, incident after incident, where people make, you know, unintended choices, get themselves in circumstances that lead to babies being born in the craziest of situations, right? Parents not being committed to being parents, the whole nine. And so, I mean, is that really bad for folks to say, hey, how do we stop that cycle? Because, okay, I get it. This is a Republican bill and the whole nine, but this is a real problem in the Black community. Black men, unfortunately, and I'm not saying, of course, not all Black men. I'm saying, though, that Black men, we're getting shafted from both ends. We either when we try to be responsible, the system makes it hard, or when we're not responsible, the system makes it hard. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, how do you break this cycle? How do you break this cycle? How do you make sure that in the course of all of this madness that is happening, that the woman still feels like she has agency over her body. She is still able to make the choice that is in her best interest. How do you make sure that the life that is coming into the world is still being appreciated and valued?
You know, I promise I'll make this short.
Yeah.
One of the things that I believe that we could do, you know, we put a lot of, and this would go on a whole tangent, but we put a lot of money into different agencies within the city or state government, a lot of it going into law enforcement, which is why people were saying defund the police. We also in Baltimore City do this thing, this crazy thing, like giving Johns Hopkins, you know, half of the property in Baltimore City, and they're hardly paying any money on it. There's this crazy idea that came up. It's not crazy. Martin Luther King supported it, as well as Andrew Yang in 2020 as he ran for president, called a UBI. Now, I'm personally in favor of what's called an MBI, a minimum basic income, but that would help bridge some gaps.
I agree.
So, you know, people have a level, you know, a base to start from to continue to build. There's ways that we can go about moving and circulating money that it actually gets into the hands that it needs to get into so that you can take care of your needs. And, you know, it's been proven when studies have been done that when people get the money that they need into their hands, they generally use it for the things that they actually need, not for drugs, not for alcohol, but for their everyday needs.
So there are
other ways to go about it so that we can make sure that the woman is taken care of. And, you know, we don't have to cripple anybody to do it.
Absolutely. Tyra, I got to stop you right there for the sake of time. I want to get Carolyn. You have the final word on this. And I think, Tyra, you make some excellent points. I think that is also the dynamic of this whole conversation. But, Carolyn, what's your take on this, ma'am?
I'm not too sure about this Utah law. First of all, making one pay for a child, prenatal or otherwise, I think there needs to be a caveat to that.
What do you think the caveat should be?
Make sure you have a paternal test to go along with it. Because a lot of men are getting caught up with taking care of another child, somebody else's child, because they've been tricked into it because of who they are, what they have, or whatever. You don't have any kids. There are a lot of women out there, and I tell my son this every day, there are a lot of women out there that will prey on you because you don't have kids, because you come from a good family, or because of your potential. So be careful who you lay down with. And that's for women, too.
No, and let me just throw this out there again. That is the caveat that's been considered, because if the paternity of the child is disputed, fathers won't be required to pay until after the paternity is established. So that's a part of the law in Utah. So just wanted to make sure that you're clear on that as well, Carolyn, that is a big consideration. But go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, the other thing is our culture needs, and in any other culture, it's not just ours.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start empowering ourselves and understanding our wealth and our future is to make sure that we make good decisions, try to put ourselves in a position to make our children's children continue in a better manner than what we are now. Another thing, medical community, they do everything for men, but they will not pursue male hormone implants or anything like that for birth control. They always worry about the women, but they do not worry about the men who could impregnate not one, not two, but several women at one time.
So you're saying turn off the spigot a little bit.
Yeah. What are they going to do with them? Are they going to say, hey, look, just like they do some women, and I've seen it happen, they'll tell women, hey, do you want to have your tubes tied after they see you're still single,
have
three children? So why don't they bring the men in and say, hey, look, can we tie your tubes?
Right, get a vasectomy. That's a good point. Hey, Carolyn, I got to stop you right there for the sake of time, but you're making an absolute, great point. I think there needs to be more conversation about men and reproductive health, you know, taking full responsibility of what they bring to the table. So I totally, totally agree. Folks, this has been a great conversation, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And make sure we can continue it. You can certainly follow me on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad, FarajiMuhammad. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter. Let's continue to have the conversation. I appreciate Mr. Mayor, Mayor Brandon Scott, for being on the show tonight. Great conversation. So thank you so much, Mr. Mayor, for being a part of tonight's show. And I thank each and every one of you for checking in both online and on air. I want to thank my team as well, my man Dre Day, my man Daryl, and of course my producer Demi Goff. Stay tuned. Up next is Lolo with In the Groove. As always, folks, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. God willing, we'll talk tomorrow. We'll be chatting in with the leaders of the We Are Us movement in Baltimore and talking about their peace agreement, how they are setting the precedent and the stage to bring peace to the streets as the summer season approaches us. So we'll have that conversation tomorrow right here on For the Culture, here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. Remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.